In the first instance, I wish to thank Reverend Dr. Paddy Patrick McGlincy, aka Paddy, for his kind invitation to preach here at your Sunday Eucharist, which I am deeply grateful. Paddy's interests, according to the website of this august institution, are 20th century Roman Catholic theology and the emerging church movement. A potentially interesting segue into where we might go and explore this morning. But before I commence, let me pose two simple questions. Not the easy one, the gospel, what is your name, but let me pose two simple questions. Where is your faith? And second, where is your church? Two simple four-word questions to each of you. Where is your faith and where is your church? No, not a 5,000-word essay with a deadline next weekend. Just a moment's genuinely serious reflection of those two very simple questions. Ask them in your head. Where is your faith? And where is your church? Today's Gospel reading, St. Luke's account of Jesus quelling the great storm, is also referred to by St. Matthew and St. Mark, albeit with different emphasis. It is a concluding climax to a number of mighty deeds, including exorcisms, powerful preaching, and miraculous healings. However, in St. Luke's version, there's no personal rebuke of the disciples about their lack of faith. Instead, a straightforward, searching question from Jesus. Where is your faith? Luke appears to be asking a gentler, personal question, where is your faith? But it can also be viewed as a query about their collective responsibility. The question that today we would reframe from where is your faith, personal, to where is your church, collective. Paddy's interest in Roman Catholic theology and emerging church resonated in recalling an insightful observation from the current Roman pontiff, Pope Francis. He states his preference for a church that, quote, is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it's been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined from clinging to its own security. A timely reminder that the church should not be overly concerned about nor find itself hiding within its own buildings, but is rather called out to meeting the people wherever they are. And then the penny dropped. Perhaps it is the location of today's reading that is germane, or more accurately, the locations. For not all the action takes place on the stormy lake. That event is followed by the healing of the Gerasene demonic. That was a blast. A miracle happening in Gentile territory. We know this location by description, the region of the Gerasenes. It is also evidenced in the small detail of the proximity of a herd of swine. Jesus is operating outside of Jewish territory, outside of his comfort zone, or certainly that of his disciples. He is demonstrating what the current pontiff referred to as church out on the streets. St. Luke, always a man of the small details, notes this particular deranged man that Jesus encountered was a man of the city. His illness was therefore stolen everything from him, his dignity, his status, his place within the community. And Luke highlights that to us, where he says everything that he's been lost through his illness in the court, as for a long time he had worn no clothes, he did not live in a house. The real power of the story is actually made visible in the small details. When the pig farmers return, having spread the story of what happened to their herd, just look at the scene that awaits them. They found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. The phrase that in this text we so often overlook is sitting at Jesus' feet. This Spacey will tell you it's the traditional posture of a disciple. Later, we're told, he went all to the city, telling about the great things Jesus had done for him. So as we gather here this morning as a community of faith, in this comfortable setting, do we as a church represent one that is bruised, hurting and dirty because it's been out on the street? Are we closer to the description of a church which is unhealthy from being defined and clinging to its own security? As we gather in this building, in these leafy suburbia, are we willing to take the risks of going outside our own comfort zones to meet people and to understand their demons? Are we willing to take the risk of becoming dirty? Or do we too cling to our own security? These questions are prompted in part by the historic metaphor of the church as a boat or a ship, viewing itself as being tossed and blown about in the troubled waters of our times, but always trusting that our Lord will stand up and calm those waters and the raging storms also. But it is noteworthy that a ship is always safe in port, but that is not what ships are constructed for. So these are timely questions, not least for the global Christian church, but also for us, the dear old Church of Ireland, with so many vacant parishes all searching for a new rector. Do we seek new captains to be masters of the same ships? Do we want the ship safely moored in harbour? Or do we need adventurers, charting a course into faith out of the choppy waters and the difficult storms of our own times? Do we feel challenged to venture as a church community into places that are outside our own comfort zones and not traditionally where we, as church, or indeed as parish, have normally gone? As those of you in training consider your future ministry, and indeed those who are training those for future ministry, this morning's gospel has much to say about going out and meeting the people, including those with mental health issues. Perhaps even having to contemplate ministry in venues we as church don't yet operate. It couldn't be clearer. If Jesus hadn't ventured into Gentile territory, then Legion would not have been healed, nor would the people of the city have heard the good news. So as future leaders of the Christian community of faith, how will you bring church to novel communities and settings? How would it be to become church, bruised, hurting, dirty from being on the streets? Indeed, where are those streets, literally or metaphorically for you personally or for your future parish or your ministry setting? And whom do you meet there? What motivates you to continue in spite of being bruised, hurt and dirty? So let me now return to the initial question. Where is your faith? In Jesus Christ, we are all set free from the storms of life and of all that keeps us bound and chained, whatever that may be. Tradition, personal demons, serious illness, financial difficulties, relationship pressures, and prejudices of others. However, that's a big however. Having gained this freedom, we, like Legion, rather rapidly discover that this freedom we find in Christ is not actually primarily for ourselves, but rather for Christ himself. Something worth thinking about. The freedom in Christ is not actually primarily for ourselves, but rather for Christ himself. I'm going to conclude this morning. Now I'm more conscious that I have Methodist brethren on my right-hand side here, but I'm going to conclude this morning with a Methodist Covenant prayer. I know it's out of time, it should be done the first Sunday of January, but for me this prayer beautifully captures the costly but nonetheless inspirational reality of this gospel reading. That the personal power of freedom in Jesus Christ is actually the personal power of freedom for Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads as we pray Methodist Covenant Prayer. I am no longer my own but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Exalted for you or brought low for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine, and I am yours. So be it. In the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven.